This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Oil futures turned lower today and settled at $46.25 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. That's not what you wanted to hear if your job is connected to the Eagle Ford Shale. In the last 12 months, the price of oil has been chopped in half like a rattlesnake with bad timing crossing the railroad tracks. So how has this impacted your life? Have your hours been cut back at work? Did you get laid off? What concerns do you have about your future if you're working in the oil patch? We invite you to join our conversation. Call in with your questions and comments. The number is 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org and shoot us a tweet at tprsource. Our guest this half hour, Carr Ingham, a petroleum economist based in Amarillo, and Joseph Tripke, a finance professional working for oilpro.com, an online network and forum for folks working in the oil industry. Welcome to The Source, both of y'all.
Thank you very much.
Great. So let's start off by listening to a clip. This is from a laid-off worker. He is in a support industry for the Eagle Ford Shale fracking industry.
Well, this just happened this morning at 8 o'clock, so I think I'm still hasn't sunk in that I don't work for them anymore. And this is the first time I've ever been laid off from anywhere. I've always had a job, you know what I mean? Always. So, I don't know, I guess I'm just trying to be optimistic and hoping they'll pick up or the CDL will lead somewhere better or something. They give us a little severance package and they say we can draw employment. We knew it was coming because in August we lost our biggest customer and that was literally 90% of our business was gone. And we just never recovered. And now that it's slowing down even more, it trickled to nothing. So we knew it was coming, but just didn't know it to be this quick. Like, who comes out of high school with, like, no college, no nothing, and makes, like, $60,000 a year? You know, nobody. Where does that happen? Well, I feel bad. Like, my crew leader, he got laid off with me. That guy has a wife and, like, three kids, you know? I don't know. Like, I know I got laid off and it sucks, but I'm a one-income household, you know what I mean? I have no kids. I'm thinking, worst-case scenario, move back in with the parents in the fall if it doesn't pick up again, and just go to school full-time or work something completely different, you know what I mean? Honestly, I'm really hoping, like, I can draw some unemployment, get the CDL, wait a little bit, and hopefully, I think the prices will go up eventually, you know what I mean? And then it'll be business as usual. I'm hoping no more than 6 months. I have adequate savings to cover for some of that, and then the rest would probably be from unemployment, you know, to help make ends meet until something comes up.
And that is sound from an individual working in a support industry for the oil fields in the Eagle Ford Shale area, just lost his job, talking about his concerns. If you've got similar concerns, if you feel the same way, give us a call. We want to hear your story. The number is 210-614-8980. So, Carr, you're a petroleum economist based in Amarillo. Do you have encouraging words for our fellow who lost his job?
I have actually probably not, at least not in terms of what I think that gentleman would want to hear today. Encouraging in that he's correct. At some point, prices are going to recover. The Eagle Ford is a fabulous shale production area in Texas and in the United States, and it's early on in its life. So there's a lot of crude oil yet to be pulled out of there when prices are better. The problem is that I don't believe this is going to happen within that six-month time frame or anywhere close to it. I wish I were more optimistic than that. And frankly, I hope I'm dead wrong about it, but it just doesn't look to me like we're primed for a price recovery that would begin to stimulate activity levels again in the Eagle Ford or anywhere else in Texas anytime soon.
Joseph Tripke over at oilpro.com. It's a lot of people, a lot of chatter on what you have there online. Is this fellow who lost his job, is he an anomaly or is he going to be one of a million?
Well, unfortunately, I think I have to agree with Carr as well that he's going to be joined by quite a bit of company before this is over, and that I think this will be more drawn out than the six-month window that young man is potentially looking at. I think we're certainly hearing a lot of chatter on oilpro.com, which is effectively social media for the industry, about people that are worried about their prospects that feel similarly to this gentleman. Many are already indicating that they've been laid off or that people that they know have been laid off. So I do think it gets worse. You know, as Carr mentioned, the Eagle Ford is an extremely attractive play, and when oil does bottom, there will be a rebound. Unfortunately, I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. You know, if we look at just the rig count as a barometer, last year in the Eagle Ford, there were about 215 rigs that were active all year. Our own forecasts now call for that count to drop to about 130 later this year, 130 rigs. Now, each of those rigs supports about 100 people. So when you do the simple math, you know, I think that's about 7,000 jobs right there that could come out of the Eagle Ford. And as this gentleman mentioned, those are high-paying jobs, probably averaging about $60,000 a year. So, you know, that's about $420 million of salaries that could be pulled out of the Eagle Ford area this year.
Because it's not just the oil jobs. These jobs were feeding the local economy. You drive down to Cotulla or Karnes City, these places, and you would see a lot of building and construction, and people were filling the fast food places, and there was just a need for labor. So, Carr, is that all going to come to a halt as well?
Well, it's certainly going to be significantly interrupted, yes. We weren't even completed yet with the process of expanding infrastructure and housing and hotel-motel availability, all of the things that you were just talking about. Had prices remained relatively high in the $90 to $100 range and activity levels generally remained where they were in South Texas, there was still infrastructure development needed to accommodate the rapid expansion of oil and gas activity down there over the last several years. So that was not even done. But again, I believe all of that is going to be at least significantly interrupted for this period of time, because tax revenues are going to be dramatically affected for one thing. And I think there will probably just be some question in the mind of community leaders down there whether or not to continue these activities for the time being, just because nobody quite knows when things are going to bottom out, when a recovery is coming, and just how long this is going to last.
When this happened in the 1980s, we saw disruptions in the financial sector, especially in the S&L industry. Anything like that possible, Carr?
Well, you know, we're not the state that we were in the 1980s, so I don't believe it's going to look anything like that. That was, frankly, a calamity that lasted for years and years. And we were a state that was much more dependent economically on the oil and gas business than we are right now. It's still very important to us. It's had an employment growth. But I believe this is a cyclical decline from which we will ultimately recover, but it's going to be a deep cyclical contraction, oil and gas industry contraction. It's going to have some effect on the state of Texas' overall economy, I think. I don't believe we're looking at a 1980 scenario just because the Texas economy is nothing like it was in the 1980s.
All right. We're going to be continuing the conversation about the fallout from the falling prices of oil, what it means for the Eagle Ford Shale, what it means for jobs, what reach this could have across the economy. We want to hear from you. The number is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. This is The Source on KSTX. We're talking about oil field layoffs in the Eagle Ford Shale. They are coming, and many are here already. If you read the industry trades, you're seeing that some of the oil companies in the area are telling folks you need to punch out, and we'll let you know when we need you back. Our guest with us this half hour, Carr Ingham, a petroleum economist based in Amarillo, and Joseph Tripke, he's a finance professional working for oilpro.com, which is like a social network for folks who work in the oil industry. Let's take one of our callers. If you want to join the conversation, the number is 210-614-8980. John has called in. John, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you, sir. My questions are, what are the communities like Wilson County going to do when they've spent all this money and possibly hiring new peace officers, new police cars, expanding their public service to that area, and are they going to end up raising taxes because they've got all these expenses that they can't afford to pay anymore?
I'm not sure about that.
Okay, John, thanks for the call. And Carr?
Sure. That'll largely depend on a case-by-case basis in those various cities and counties, those municipalities that take tax revenue and put services in place for the citizenry there and people in place to staff those services. One thing we certainly do know that in addition to the direct oil and gas industry jobs that are going to be lost as a result of what's going on right now, there will be jobs elsewhere in the economy that are lost that are directly connected to those areas So I'm not sure about raising taxes. That'd probably be a better question to put to some of those folks down there. But something's going to have to give. I think that's a relative certainty at this point, and it just simply may be that jobs that have been added may themselves go by the wayside.
Well, the people down in those counties, the leadership, they're not the tax-raising type. And they're more, if they've got obligations, they'll have to cut back on services in order to meet those types of issues. So Joseph Tripke over at oilpro.com, people, are they wondering what to do with their future? They get laid off since you're kind of in the middle of the nexus of this social media of oil field workers. What do they think their options are?
Yeah, so I think people are still optimistic of a rebound, and I think most of the people that we've seen on the website are still hoping that things will come back and that their prospects within the industry will be good. In other words, they're not looking to leave the industry yet, and I think that's encouraging. So what we've seen on Oil Pro is a large spike in interest in preparing for that eventual recovery. People are completing their profiles at a record pace. People are joining the site and trying to raise the awareness for their skill set at a record pace. And so we're seeing actually an increase in interest if that's imaginable in the sector at this point in time. I think, you know, in terms of jobs, just to give you a little bit of insight, you know, Oil Pro is also home to the world's largest jobs board for the oil and gas industry, so we can derive some good insight on hiring trends. And one of the things that we're seeing is in terms of the jobs activity from companies is that most companies have retrenched into what I would call a reactive hiring mode rather than a proactive hiring mode. And what I mean by that is last year companies were willing to overstaff positions in some cases to plan for the future growth that they expected. Now what we're seeing is companies are waiting to hire only when a key person leaves the firm or they get a new project in the door. I think that's a relatively early cycle reaction. If this gets deeper and deeper, we'll see more companies go into sort of hiring freeze mode where layoffs become more common and maybe even some key personnel are not replaced. But in the meantime, we're certainly seeing some cautious optimism among workers that whose prospects near term are in question, and hope certainly for the long term in the sector.
The attitude not that long ago was that this was not going to happen, and so were the oil field workers, were they spending money like it was, you know, like water, or were they saving up, Joseph?
I think, unfortunately, it might be the former. Unfortunately, in this business, when things are good, they're really good, and when things are bad, they're really bad. And so I think you have especially because this time felt a little bit different, especially in terms of the extent of the boom onshore and the number of oil field plays that this impacted. So I would say, unfortunately, it's probably more the former in terms of people expecting this to go on and not socking away quite enough in the good times.
Okay, let's listen to another clip. This thing about predicting the future. We hear a lot of economists predicting the future, they have kind of mixed track record on that. Keith Phillips, we have a clip from him, an economist at the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, talking recently about how maybe no regional recession could hit, but we will see some big impacts.
West Texas, the Permian Basin, has been just going gangbusters. You know, you hear stories about how much you have to pay for a hotel room in Motel 6, and those places have been growing gangbusters. And here, for the state of Texas, I say tapping on the brakes. You're going to be slamming on the brakes in areas of the Permian Basin, and then the Eagle Ford's going to really feel the impact. The initial decline, people were very worried and didn't see much, but I think we're starting to see those impacts.
Starting to see those impacts, and those impacts are people getting pink slips and being and losing their jobs with layoffs. So, Joseph Tripke, you look at oilpro.com, an online network and forum for people working in the oil industry. Do they think that go on unemployment, just hang on for 6 months, and then the jobs will start coming back?
Yes, I think that's the general view right now. I mean, I think people are still in a little bit of shock and disbelief as to what's happened. You know, oil prices have been falling since July of last year, but it wasn't until Thanksgiving when OPEC met and sort of pulled the floor out from under us that we really understood the full extent of how bad this would get. And, of course, that was in the middle of budget season, too. And so really this month, although oil prices have been falling for 6 months, in January is when we're actually starting to see the effect. And, you know, if we look at what's happened with jobs growth in the United States over the last 10 years, Texas and North Dakota have accounted for about 40% of the growth in jobs in the entire country. I think that's meaningful because it tells you that the oil and gas sector was really the key sector creating jobs in the United States. And so when you take that away, it certainly becomes a concern for the overall economy. But I think at this point, certainly people are hopeful that within the next 6 to 12 months that their career prospects will be better.
Carr Ingham, we're seeing a 2.5% growth rate for unemployment in Texas. This is by the Federal Reserve. I think is that too? Do you have a very optimistic view? Is it too optimistic?
I'm not overly optimistic at this point. Back in the last contraction we had, which was in 2008 and 2009, we had a rapid price decline. But then we had an equally rapid, almost equally as rapid price recovery. And even at that, industry employment, once it peaked and began to go south, it was about 10 months before it finally bottomed out and began to add a few jobs back and then kind of recover into this remarkable cycle that we are just now seeing the end of. I don't believe prices are going to recover this time around nearly as quickly as they did in 2008 and 2009, which means even under the best case scenario, we're 10 months out from about right now in terms of bottoming out with regard to industry job growth and beginning to add jobs again. That would presume that prices were going to recover and begin to go north in quite a big hurry from this point forward. And I just don't see that happening. The economics of what's occurring right now don't suggest that that's going to happen. This particular price decline is brought about by something entirely different than that prior price decline, and it's going to take a while to work our way out of this one, I'm afraid. So, no, I'm not that optimistic.
Back to the phone lines. Number is 210-614-8980. Samir has called in. Welcome to The Source. So you're on the air.
Oh, yes. Hi. Thank you for having me. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I have a kind of a comment with a question, I guess. So I have friends or acquaintances actually in the business down here in Texas. A lot of them run the trucks for the sand, the frac sand. And so as far as their business goes, it doesn't really matter if they hit oil or not. They need the sand. Now, a lot of these guys, since last August, even though oil's been dropping, they're buying more and more trucks. I know for a fact, one of the guys I know, he could use 10 more trucks on a job right now that he has an MSA with a huge fracking company out in the Permian. So it's easy to say maybe like, oh, well, they don't know what they're doing. They obviously know what they're doing. They've been in the business a while. So is it that it's somewhat survival of the fittest in that, yeah, some of the smaller outfits may get dropped out, but there's still a demand and someone's got to pick up that slack, and the bigger boys will still be able to get all the contracts with the fracking companies? Or do you see that they would maybe renegotiate the rates or something that they're paying them later this year if oil stays low? Because, I mean, obviously they have their MSAs in place.
Right. So let me get an answer.
A lot of them are expanding.
Let me get an answer to that because we're kind of running short on time. Thanks for the question, Samir. So, Joseph Tripke?
Yes. So, good question, Samir. So, the demand for sand is really a phenomenon that has no precedent. It is a phenomenon that is associated with this particular upcycle. And where sand is used is in fracking or completing the well. And so what we think will happen this downturn is that demand for sand is going to quickly deteriorate. Demand for completions will quickly deteriorate, potentially even at a faster pace than for drilling. Drilling of wells will still happen in some cases, but the completions component will be delayed. And so what I see happening is that unfortunately, the trucks that these companies are buying now, they're effectively buying at a peak demand level. By mid-year, my guess is that far fewer trucks, unfortunately, will be needed in the Eagle Ford and the Permian as the completions activity will be drying up to a large extent.
So the need for sand and the trucks and the drivers right now is only because they're at the end of this pipeline of the conveyor belt of the completion of these wells. And once these wells are done, then people will be looking long and hard on whether or not to open up new wells. Is that right?
That's correct. So what's basically happened is the spending until the first and second week of January, the activity in the oil field, the budgets that were being spent to fund that were created when oil prices were much higher, probably closer to $70 to $100 a barrel. And so what we're seeing now in January, and it will continue into February and March, is companies are recalibrating their activity levels to adjust to $50 oil. So what's happening is E&P companies are really, these next couple of weeks, they're beginning to implement 30 to 50% cuts in their budget. So what's going to happen is effectively as these MSAs roll off and these drilling contracts roll off, the equipment will not be recontracted. In other
right.
words, it will begin to go idle.
And one quick question, Carl, very short on time here. If the oil prices bounce back tomorrow to $75 and it looked like they were going to hold, would that still be like people would lose their exuberance in the Eagle Ford Shale?
Well, that would be that would do a lot for our psyche. There's no doubt about that. But at this point, the die is cast based on what's already happened. We're going to endure a significant contraction in oil field activity in Texas. It's going to be felt deeply within the industry, and particularly in South Texas and the Permian concentrated areas of production.
Okay.
So that's going to happen at this point. But we would certainly feel a lot better if we jumped right back to $75 oil right quick.
Yeah, it would be pretty. All right. Thank both of you for your information, your expertise. We appreciate that. This is The Source on KSTX, back after this NPR news break.